to have been set free and continue to be set free by that truth. Amen?
Amen.
What's the scripture? You and the truth shall make you free. You know, I was saying, you know, there's a secret that it's not just the word of the Lord, but the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. So much so that there was a couple that lied to the Holy Ghost and dropped dead immediately. The truth of God doesn't tolerate lies. Amen?
Amen.
Liars don't get into heaven in any way, shape, or form. There's no place for a liar in heaven. No place for a deceiver in heaven. But there is a place for the forgiven. And if you're a liar, I would quickly repent. And don't do that anymore. And the only way that you can do that is hold fast to the truth. And let it confront that. There's no such thing as little lies, white lies, convenient lies, lies that should be tolerated because they have some good end. Mm-mm. The truth sets us free. The truth makes us free. But that's not what I wanted to speak about this morning. I wanted to speak about faith. You know, faith is our journey in Christ. And it's from faith to faith. It's how we understand the Lord. It's how the righteousness of God is revealed. And you and I are being made holy. And we are being made righteous from faith to faith. And as a preface, I would like to just say the things that I'm sure you're commonly aware of, is that without faith, we cannot be saved. How critical is faith in our lives? Well, without faith, we can't be saved. We're saved by grace through faith. Nothing to do with our own work or what we do. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. So we want to understand what faith is in our lives. And if we do, we want to go back to faith. Because there's never going to be a time in our life where faith is not required as a part of our life in Christ, our growth in Christ. How many understand that? And just in case you didn't think the Bible said anything about that, it said that the end of our faith will receive something. Salvation of our souls. That's the end of our faith. Meanwhile, we're on a journey of faith. And without faith, we cannot please God. You know, I think a great example for that is Cain and Abel. You know, Cain really wanted to please God, and he worked hard in the fields, and he had a talent for growing things. And he presented the best of the crop that he had to give to God to please him. God was not only pleased, not only not pleased, but he rejected Cain's sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice. Because what God wanted was the shedding of blood from the sacrificed lamb, which is a shadow of Jesus Christ. And the vegetables or the fruit of the ground is a shadow of our own works. And we cannot be saved by the things that we do in contradiction to what God wants. We can't offer him what we want. We have to offer him what he wants. And as the disciples struggled with faith, so do we. Their prayer to the Lord, as is my prayer, Lord, increase our faith. increase my faith. I want to have more faith. And of course, that's why the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. Even though we dislike it, even though, you know, the troubles that we don't understand, and sometimes maybe some of you are right in the middle, in the midst of a trial. And you say, why, Lord? And this is why. You're His child. He hasn't abandoned you. He's looking for your faith. He's looking for you to believe. He's looking for you to just trust in Him. And He'll see you through. And most of us have had those experiences, and they don't end. There's another one coming, if you just came over one. But the result is that you're going to be a man and woman of faith. You know, faith is also, we can understand, is the key to accessing God's supernatural power. And I wanted to read Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 and 29 this morning. It says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can take away your blindness? And they said unto him, yes, Lord, we do. And in verse 29, it says, he then touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Why do we need increasing faith? Because it's according to our faith that the Lord works wonders in our lives. You know, I think that's very interesting. Not just what Jesus can do, but it's what we believe that He can do is what happens in our lives. There's a connection that's established between heaven and us. And as, you know, when I first became a Christian, I had no idea that God could do the things He did. You know, when I think of my own life, especially in my life, I did not believe that He was capable of doing what He has done in my life. But He revealed Himself to me faith to faith, in sickness, in trouble. He's been my strength. And it's through those difficulties that I've had in my life that I can testify as an experience that I'm sure you have too. It's overcoming those trials that has made me strong in the Lord. It's made me able to see things that I never saw before. It's no accident the Lord left us His word that it said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Believe I can heal you? Yes, I do. According to your faith, let it be then. And they believed, and they were healed, and their eyes were open. I want to say that to you today. Because if you don't have the faith that's required to accomplish the things that you've asked God in your life, then you need to ask Him to increase your faith. Lord, increase my faith so that the things that I'm asking You, You can give to me. You can make happen. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and you doubt not, you shall not only do to this which was done to the fig tree, which Jesus cursed it and it died because it had no fruit on it, but also you shall say to the mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. A couple of things that the Lord wants us to understand is there's no limit what can be done through the faith that God has placed in us. The other thing he's told us is that the enemy of our faith, or that faith, or accomplishing the work of God, is doubt. And that's something that we struggle with. And you might say, well, I don't doubt. I believe the Lord is the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we have to face the fact that if you truly believe, you'll do. Amen? Because our generation's become too much like, I love you, I love you, I love you, but really they don't love you. Because there's nothing to support that. If you say, I love you, Jesus, then he said, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. Don't just say you love me every day, or don't just say you love me on Sundays. If you love me, keep my words. Amen. That's the cry of the Spirit. So if you believe, it becomes evident. Faith without works is dead. Amen? People don't like to hear that because it often makes an imposition on their lives. And the Lord isn't interested or satisfied, and you should know that if you've, you know, attended here for any length of time, that the Lord isn't interested in our attendance. He's interested in our whole life. He's interested in us presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. That's the word of the Lord. And maybe that's too big for you to get now. That's fine. But faith is going to bring you to that spot. Increasing faith. Faith in your life. Faith is what God has given us to connect our thoughts to his thoughts. When you write that down, faith is what God has given us that connects our thoughts to his thoughts, because we know, as it says in Isaiah, he said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But faith is what connects our thoughts together with heaven's thoughts. And we see beyond the veil of this life, beyond the veil of the flesh. It's faith that allows us to establish a connection with heaven. Get a good Wi-Fi signal, you know? Connect. What's the password? F-I-A-I-T-H. You want to establish a connection with heaven, that's it. I want to talk about an aspect of faith today that I think is extremely necessary for the time that we live. It's that faith is the evidence. And of course, we understand from things naturally that without evidence, there is no case to be made. And as Christians, there's no case to be made for a Savior. Without evidence, we're just talking in the wind. Oh, you know, Jesus is real. He died. I remember myself witnessing these things that have no power. They're my own thoughts, you know, trying to do the right thing, talking to people. But that's not the evidence of who Christ is. And without evidence, we're just presenting suppositions. And although we recently saw in the United States they were appointing that Supreme Court justice, that there were accusations made against that man, but there was literally no evidence. And yet the world is getting so crazy that without evidence, it was still considered fact. But you and I, when we, our understanding of Christ, our relationship with Christ, who Christ is, it's faith that is the evidence of who Jesus is. So without evidence, there's no case to be made for a Savior, Jesus Christ, or eternal life. And faith is the evidence of our testimony. Is the evidence for our testimony. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Does the Bible say that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's very important for us to understand this because it leads us to something else. Faith is the evidence, the evidence that God, the creator of all things, had a son born of a virgin. The evidence of that is faith. Follow me. This is the word of the Lord. This is not my thought. This is the word of the Lord. The evidence that Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead to life. The evidence of that is faith. The evidence that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. The evidence of that is faith. Hallelujah. I have the evidence. Amen?
Amen?
We have the evidence that Jesus Christ is alive today. Hallelujah. We're not presenting some case without merit, hoping that somebody will listen to something without fact or evidence. We have the evidence. According to the word of the Lord, that evidence is faith. I look at you and I'm thinking, I'm not quite there yet, but the evidence that there's a heaven and a hell, which men question today, the evidence for that, beloved, is faith. Because faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. Amen? So things that are not seen, there's an evidence for them being there. And that's called faith. Did you know that the enemy is trying to destroy all the evidence?
Yes, he is.
Hmm?
Yes.
Come on. Is the enemy trying to destroy the evidence?
Yes.
Yes. And he's working hard at it. Because he knows that you and I have the evidence of who Jesus is, salvation, eternal life, hope, everything else. You and I have it. And he wants to destroy that evidence so it can't be presented to a lost and dying world. Come on. Satan wants to destroy your faith. Why? Because it's the evidence of who Jesus really is. And the evidence that he really is alive. That he really rose from the dead. That he didn't have some family and lived out his life on the earth. That he's alive today making intercession for those who believe on his name. You and I have that evidence. We have the evidence. And Satan wants to destroy that in our generation. And he's doing a fine job of that. He's presenting all other things that in his hope will take the place of faith. Like duty. Like your own works. Abraham believed God. He had faith. And it was counted for righteousness. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How? By faith. I rebuke the enemy from trying to destroy the evidence in our lives of who Jesus is.
Yes.
by trying to weaken our faith, by bringing in some natural thinking to our lives, by weakening the doctrines that we have held, by putting doubt. Hath God said? Is it really the truth? Is that church or that pastor really preaching the truth? Doesn't the word of God mean something else? Satan is working overtime to destroy the evidence.
Yes.
But you and I are going to hold fast to the truth of who Jesus is. And we're going to hold that evidence in our lives, and we're going to proclaim that evidence so that the world can know who Jesus is and prove that to them by our faith.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're already, as I'm talking to you, we're already in the realm of faith, because it's hard for you to believe that what I'm saying has any basis, because it sounds crazy. But we'll get further on and let the word explain it to us. But do I believe that? Yes, I believe that. I believe that the evidence that Jesus is risen from the dead is in me, and it's faith.
Amen.
It's faith that I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is alive. He was dead, but brothers and sisters and world, Christ is risen from the dead. He's Lord of all. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And nothing can take that away. Nothing can change that. There is no power, because he has all the power. Amen. Come on. If you want to praise the Lord, then let's praise the Lord. We say that all power in heaven. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, or that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the eunuch said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah, brother. You're going back to Ethiopia with power and evidence. Glory to Jesus. Lord, thy word is quick and powerful, alive. The purpose of the church is to take the evidence out to the streets and say, we're here not to talk about religion. We're here to prove to you by this evidence that Jesus Christ is alive, that his blood was shed to wash away your sins, that you can be free from the bondage of the enemy, from the bondage of this life. We're here to declare to you and reveal to you the evidence that Christ is alive. It's spiritual. It's not natural. It's spiritual. And that you just have to believe. Speak the word only, the centurion said to Jesus. You don't have to come to my house and touch him. I know how things work. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, let him be healed. Bang, that same hour he was healed. And Jesus said, I have not found such a great faith in Israel. And there were others like that too. Just believe. I believe. Yes, the enemy is trying to destroy what I believe, but I believe this morning. I confessed it a little earlier. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Jesus alive again. Hallelujah. The purpose of the church is to take the evidence to the streets, reveal it to everyone, showing that truly Jesus Christ is the only hope for this generation. And we have the evidence. Hallelujah. You understand me? We're not some weird religious sect trying to convert other people to the way we think. We're here revealing the evidence that Jesus Christ is alive today. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. So, the greatest evidence that we have for Jesus Christ is our faith. And the evidence that we have is so powerful and undeniable. It is as though Christ is alive again on the earth, proclaiming himself to this generation. I'm alive. I'm alive. I was there. I'm alive. Through the Holy Ghost, that's what's taking place. Christ lives in me. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcoming the world. Would you say that that's an important thing?
Yeah.
I would say that's the thing that's trying to destroy the evidence. Is that world. It's that world system. It's that world feeling. It's the attraction of the world. It's like Satan said to Christ when he tempted, all the glory of these cities I'll give to you. Bow down and worship me. And many believers have given up hope in their salvation and have accepted what Satan is offering. Some temporary thing. Giving up eternity, joy, peace. Hang on, brothers and sisters. The Lord's about to do something amazing. And who's going to see it? Those that have the evidence. Amen? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What overcomes the world? Our faith. What overcomes the world? Tell me.
Our faith.
Tell me one more time.
Our faith.
Our faith.
Yes.
Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God. This gospel that I'm not ashamed of. It's the power of God for what? Unto salvation. To everyone that believes. To the Jew. To the Greek. To you and I. To everyone out there. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Beloved, it is the irrefutable, undeniable evidence that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's the gospel. That's what we preach. That's what we speak. It's the gospel of power. It's that irrefutable evidence that Jesus Christ is God's Son and is the author of eternal salvation. As it says in Hebrews 5:9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 to 18 says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, natural man doesn't understand that. There's an outward man and there's an inward man. And the outward man dying, and the inward man is being renewed every day.
Yes.
It's alive. Even though the outward is dying, the inward is alive. Come on. The inward is not only alive, but you know, the greatest secret is the inward is life-giving. It's a life-giving spirit. It's not just a life-taking spirit. It's a life-giving spirit. And how is that life given? Yes, speaking. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. The inward man is renewed day by day. not just renewed and then forget about it. It's renewed day by day. It's a daily thing. For our light affliction, the Lord says, which is but for a moment, and it seems a lifetime at times, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something's taking place. Those things that you're enduring, those things that you're suffering, that affliction in your life, it's working something. That inner man, heaven's testimony. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Listen to this. For the things that are seen are temporary, temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So the evidence is of eternal things. The evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. We literally have the evidence that there's an eternity, that there is eternal life. Yes. So Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. One of the things that we need to remember and understand about faith is that it comes by hearing. That's why I thought it would such a wonderful idea, not just to confess the word together, but some of us listen to some others confessing the word. And it's stirring to do that. I'm stirred by listening to you, my brother and my sister, confess the word. Speak the word. Speak the word to one another. Doesn't have to just be in church, but encourage. So life, it's the evidence. Faith comes by hearing. Interesting that the Lord said not by seeing. You know, it's as though the Lord says, you know, I'm going to have to bypass a few things that I gave you earlier. The rest of your senses. Doesn't come by feeling, right? It comes by hearing, not by seeing. You could see Jesus do all kinds of miracles. That wouldn't amount to faith, because faith comes by hearing. So something is connected with our ears that allows faith to enter into our spirit, our soul. It's almost like you have to rule out sight. Sight can be such a hindrance in our lives. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
That's why things are always so attractive to the eyes. See, you know, people live their lives trying to make themselves more appealing to other people's sight. Right? I mean, you can see that for sure in the fashion centers of the world in Hollywood. They spend a lot of money trying to keep it that way too, as the years start to, and gravity starts to take a hold of that old body. It starts to sag and decay, and they're trying to prop it up somehow. I mean, I have nothing against that. It's a natural thing. They're trying to hold on to some life. But life isn't in that. And it's not about what somebody else sees. It's about what they hear. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That means that we could be in the pitch black and people could receive Christ. They could receive the evidence because it doesn't come by seeing. It comes by hearing. Hallelujah. If you want somebody to hear something, what do? You say something. Well, that's the best way anyway. I guess you can make noises. But the best way to have somebody hear something is to say something. The power of the gospel, the word of God spoken, the word of God revealed as the light that shined into the darkness. It has a supernatural effect on those that hear. Think about this for a second. Because you got to get your mind, your thinking, your whole life experience, and throw it out of the way. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ has some supernatural power. It's what happened to me, and I received Christ. It was supernatural, went beyond my doubts, even my anger against the Christianity and things to do with Christ and those guys who are preaching and those people on TV asking for money all the time. You know, you associate it with stuff like that, but the gospel has the ability to go beyond that, go right down in the ear, right down into there. And bang, something takes place. There's a reaction that takes place. Some hate it. I mean, the Pharisees, they just wanted to kill Jesus. And others said, you know, I'm going to get out there, and when Jesus walks by, I'm going to ask him to take away my leprosy. That's the effect it had on some of those people, as it should on you and I today. It should be a cry in your heart. As I'm teaching you the word today that says, Pastor David, speak the word of the Lord. Don't speak your thoughts. Speak the word of the Lord to me this morning that I may hear. Because faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. The day of Pentecost was the beginning of this commission that was given by Jesus after he had rose from the dead when he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go and teach all nations. Go and say something. Go and take the evidence that you've received and reveal it to the world. We could say that, understanding the word as we are understanding it today. Because faith comes by hearing. Take the evidence, let that come out of your mouth, and let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Let everyone hear that Jesus is alive. He said, all power, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The effect of the Holy Ghost, the outpouring on the day of Pentecost, was this. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what's going to be the evidence of that power? Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my, we can't say eyewitnesses because eyes really don't have anything to do with it. You're going to be my hearing witnesses. You're going to take the evidence that you've received and you're going to start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, and you're going to take it to the othermost parts of the world and you're going to reveal the evidence to the world. That I'm alive. Yes. Hallelujah. That's what happened on Pentecost. The disciples were empowered to go and take the evidence and proclaim it everywhere. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world, earth, even North America. And faith was to be spread all over the earth through hearing the word of the Lord. We have faith today because it was passed down from speaking to hearing, from speaking to hearing, from speaking to hearing until that day that you heard. How many heard?
Amen.
Come on, how many heard the evidence? I'm asking you a true question. If you didn't hear the evidence, I don't want to see your hand. But if you heard the evidence and it somehow affected your life, then you, why don't you acknowledge that this morning? Because I certainly did. I heard the evidence that Jesus was alive. That he was real and not just a story. And I believe that evidence. And in turn, I received the evidence. Come on, let's get out of here. Literally, faith was to be spread all over the earth through the hearing of the word of the Lord. And this is what Romans said. It's almost... There's a sense that it's a cry of the Spirit. It says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Some people today think that there's a difference between the Jews and other people that receive Christ. Let me explain to you from the word of the Lord that there is no difference. That middle wall, that partition was broken down so that we could all be one. That's the desire of the Lord. Not to have separate peoples, but for us to be one. And everyone that received Christ will be one. He says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe or have faith in him of whom they have not heard? Got the connection between believing or faith and hearing? It's there. It's telling. The Lord is showing us again in Romans chapter 10. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless somebody goes and says something? Or without a preacher. And the word literally means like a, you know, the town crier. Somebody proclaiming the great news, the good news, the gospel. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Because the question is going to come to us, have we been sent? And I'm telling you once again that that's the work of the day of Pentecost, what took place there. That was the sending. Do you remember? You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost part. That was the sending. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. It's so powerful. Not seeing, but hearing. Someone suffering in the hospital. If someone is spending their last days on this earth, go and read the word of God to them. Not just read it as a book, though read it as though it's alive in you. Read it as something that has brought you hope and salvation. Read it with faith. And it'll change the hearer. It literally can bring hope and salvation to those that hear, no matter what they say. Beloved, it doesn't matter what a person says. because the hearing is more, has a direct path to that soul. Amen. And you can speak right to that place. So in conclusion today, and I should be congratulated, because according to that clock, it says 1 minute or 2 minutes before 12. I don't believe a word you're saying. Speak the word though. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Whom having not seen, you love. How's that possible? Brothers and sisters, how is it possible to love someone you've never seen? Come on, I've been talking about it all morning.
By faith.
Yes, thank you. How is it possible to love someone you've never seen?
By faith.
Because the faith is the evidence of
things not seen.
Yes, hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Or is your hunger overcoming your faith? Come on, that's exciting. How can you love someone you haven't seen? Is by faith. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing or yet by faith, you rejoice. You rejoice this morning with joy unspeakable and full of glory that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
That the promises are true. He's coming again for his people. Put aside the weights and the problems and the troubles and the excuses and let the evidence come out of your mouth.
Amen.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And I want to leave you with this prayer. Let's pray for the day of Pentecost to affect our lives that we may be his witnesses. So we can reveal the evidence of those things not seen to this generation.